All right, let's open up tonight, or this morning, to Joshua chapter 24. That'll be the starter, and so I'll go ahead and apologize again in front of myself that I'll probably be hacking and coughing here, but I'm fine. I really am. Joshua 24. Now, the reason for this gathering is found in Joshua 23 verse 1, where at the end of that verse it says that Joshua was waxed old and stricken in age. And so verse 2, he called for all Israel and for their elders, for their heads, for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. He's getting ready to die. Chapter 24 verse 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. So he keeps talking about this other side of the flood. Notice down in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and pray and put away rather the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer there. Father, I come to you this morning, pray for some clarity of thought. It might be nice if we kept the coughing down through the sermon. That'd be a blessing. I pray, though, you'd help me to be able to get across what you put on my heart here. Father, we're grateful for our mothers this morning, and I just want to say that it's not a Mother's Day message because that's not what you really gave me, but it applies to us all, and I just pray you'd help us here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so Joshua at this juncture is the end of his life, end of the book of Joshua. He has led the children of Israel into the land. He has fought the heathen off in the land. He has divided the land by lot into the 12 tribes and so on. Here he stands this day, pretty much ready to die, calls everybody together for that occasion. And so this is Joshua's farewell address to Israel. And Israel stands today in this passage in the land that God promised them all along. Ever since they were in Egypt, they had been hearing of this land that flowed rich with milk and honey. And so they actually, despite the issues at Sinai, despite the issue at Kadesh Barnea, despite the fact they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, despite the fact that an entire generation died out there, here they stand today in the promised land. They have secured that promise. And Joshua is trying to stir them, because he's going to die. He's trying to keep the fire lit beneath them, because now he's going to go the way of all flesh, just like Moses before him and just like Abraham before him. And so he's trying to keep them going. When he tries to inspire them, he actually goes further back. The latest memory for Israel is the issues, the bondage in Egypt, and then having to wander 40 years and have an entire generation of die in the wilderness. That's their immediate memory. But he takes them much further back than their slavery and their embondagement in Egypt. Because he mentions four times in this passage, it's the only four times this phrasing even comes up. He mentions again verse 2, 24:2, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. Again, verse 3, your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. In verse 14, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Then again in verse 15, choose who you're going to serve, whether the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. He takes them way further back than just their bondage in Egypt. And no, you shouldn't read that to mean that's not Noah's flood. The first time that I read it, I'm thinking, whoa, what was that, you know? Well, it's not Noah's flood. We're talking here about the Euphrates River. If you cross due east from roughly the Dead Sea, when you go due east, you cross this vast expanse of something called the Arabian Desert. And back in that day, that was not the way people went usually. They would follow that fertile crescent of the Tigris and Euphrates River up from Persia and kind of come over the top down into Israel. And so he's talking about that fertile crescent, that place that ended at Ur of the Chaldees, the Euphrates. That was called the flood of waters. He said, I brought you. He's reminding them. He says, I'm going all the way back. I'm not just going to talk to you about your bondage in Egypt. I'm going to talk to you about where you came from a long time ago. I'm going to take you all the way back to Ur of the Chaldees, where you were just Chaldees. You were just heathen. I'm going to take you all the way back to Abraham's father and grandfather and great-grandfather, where your people were just heathen people. I want to take you all the way back to before there was such a thing even known to be as a Hebrew. Before anybody was ever called a Hebrew, Abraham was called the first Hebrew. Way back before there was a Hebrew, I'm taking you all the way back there. I'm going to take you all the way back to the bad old days. For us, most of us, that's what we would think of. When we were lost, dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, the bad old days. Back then, I'm going to take you all the way back to where you came from. You've been through a lot, he says to Israel. You've been through the wars of Canaan. We just got finished fighting those so I could divide the land to you. You were 40 years in the wilderness where you lost that first entire generation of Israelites. Before that, you were in Sinai, and before that, you were back down in Egypt where you dwelt for way over 400 years, almost 500 years. You were in bondage in Egypt. And before that, there was Joseph, and you lived through all of Joseph's days. And before that, there was Jacob, and you lived back through all of Jacob's days. And before that, there was Isaac and all of Isaac's days. And before that, there was Abraham and all his days. And that's where we start, because Abraham came out from Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I'm going to take you all the way back to that. You know, Israel had been through a lot. They really had. I mean, you talk about all of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's days. You talk about Joseph's days, bondage in Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, etc. They'd been through a lot. And he takes them all the way back. And he says, you've been through a lot because I'm concerned that you're just remembering the last stuff. I want to make sure that you keep this fire lit under yourself, because I'm going to take you all the way back to when you came out from being heathen in Ur of the Chaldees. He said, you've come a long way, baby, but I've got something that I want to remind you about. And so we're going to call this message this morning, You've Come a Long Way, Baby. That's in the Hebrew, by the way. He said, you've come a long way, but I want to remind you what God did for you way back there, where most of you don't even remember living. You were in the loins of your father Abraham back in that day. I'm going back beyond your enslavement. I'm going back before the hard times in the wilderness, those 40s. I'm taking you all the way back to where you came out from. Now, I speak to you here now. Maybe you are old in the Lord. I'm over 50 years old in the Lord. Maybe you are young in the Lord, but I tell you what, it's easy to forget where you came from. Because why? Because a lot of stuff happens. If you haven't been saved long enough for a lot of stuff to happen, if you're saved for any time at all, and if the Lord tarries, there's going to be a lot of stuff happen. That's just life. Stuff in your family, stuff with your mom, stuff with your dad, stuff with your brothers and sisters, stuff in your own marriage, stuff. A lot of stuff's going to happen. It's not always going to be birthday cake either. There's going to be a lot of sickness, and there's going to be quite a few defeats as well. And so I'm going to do for you this morning what Joshua was trying to do for the children of Israel in that day. They had been through a lot. Their most recent memories were of wandering in the wilderness and the enslavement in Egypt. He said, no, I'm taking you much further back than that. We have to go much further back than that. I don't know what your most recent memories are. I don't know what has happened of most recent for you. A surgery, a hospitalization, a funeral, I don't know. And maybe it wasn't even something unpleasant like that, but sometimes all the things that happen, even the good things, kind of help allow some things that you shouldn't forget to fall through the cracks. It's just true. So I want to take you to where Joshua was talking about. He says, the other side of the flood, all the way back when Terah and Abraham and their families came out from Ur of the Chaldees, all the way back to Genesis 12. All the way back to Genesis 12, if you wouldn't mind. And in Genesis 12 is where we'll be preaching from this morning. Now, just in brief, starting in Genesis 11, you'll see in verse 31 that Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees. This is where he called them out, from Ur of the Chaldees. And he says, Terah took Abram, his son, and all the rest of the lot, and took them. Verse 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. But I want you to see in chapter 12, verse 1, that now the Lord had said unto Abraham. Now Joshua stands before Israel. He says, I'm going to die today. And y'all have been through a rough war, and then you had a rough 40 years before that. An entire generation died. Before that, you were in Egypt. You were bondsmen. You were 500 years there. Before that, you were in Egypt under Joseph's care. Then Joseph died. Before that, you were in the 12 tribes. Before that, you were in Jacob. Before that, there was Isaac. Before that, there was Abraham. And then before that, you were stinking Chaldeans. You were just heathen. He said, I want to take you all the way back, and I want you to remember not just what God's done for you since you've stood in the... Here you stand today in the promised land, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Here you stand today. And I want to remind you about how this all started. First of all, could you see in chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Abram. Notice also down in verse 4, and Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Did you notice? He said, first of all, the Lord spoke. First of all, the Lord spoke. When this all started, when you were just Chaldeans, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, when you had no light, when all you had was the light of the Chaldean magicians and sorcerers, he said, there was an interesting thing that happened. Terah came out. It said that he brought Abram out. But it specified that God spoke to Abram. The Lord spoke. Terah and Abraham's people were Chaldeans. They were heathen. It had said over in Joshua, we read it, that they served other gods. They were just like the rest of the idolatrous people. The rest of the heathen people, the rest of the pagan people on the face of this earth. They followed their own designs. They followed their own hearts. they went about just groping in darkness. They didn't have any real light. Then there came a day that God spoke to Abram. And the Lord spoke to Abram. And because God spoke to Abram, he took his father and his wife and his cousin. And they left Ur of the Chaldees, but he obeyed God. God spake to Abraham. And we don't get more details than that at that point, but the first thing you see, if Joshua is going to take the children of Israel back all the way to the coming out from Ur of the Chaldees, then the first thing you have to say about that is that God brought Abraham out by speaking to him. Speaking to him. Now, I know God speaks. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Praise the Lord. All the heathen see that. Some come to the right conclusions and a whole bunch don't. I know there's the voice of conscience. I know that it's the small voice that Elijah encountered. And for him, it was a still small voice because God had spoken in that voice to Elijah for a long time. But it was a small voice of conscience. And everybody's got that. And sometimes folks listen and sometimes folks don't. Sometimes folks just go about their business and sear that conscience. But I know this. I know there came a day that God spoke to Abraham. And Abraham listened. And Abraham spoke back. And nothing was ever the same for Abraham or for his son Isaac or for his son Jacob or for those 12 tribes or for Israel after Abraham, after God spoke to Abraham. That was the dividing point of their lives. That was the point when life became something different for Abraham and that subsequently for the 12 tribes of Israel because God spake. So there stands Israel in the promised land, in Canaan land, and there they stand in their lots, and they look around and say, this is pretty cool. Do you remember where it started? It started with God speaking to Abraham. Now, I just want to say for you and me, most of us have memories of the bad old days. Now, I got saved young. But I had some bad old days after I got saved. Because I'm that guy that got saved and then didn't grow. And Lord had to beat some stuff into my head with a 4x4 as I went through college. But most people here remember something about those bad old days. You were lost, dead in your trespasses and sins, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Lost people have a spirit. It's the spirit of the devil. You remember being children of the devil, don't you? You remember what it was when you walked in the flesh, when you walked in darkness, you just groped around in the darkness hoping you could grab something to hold on to. He said, that's how you lived. You were spiritually blind. You were spiritually deaf. You just dwelt in this great darkness. And then something happened. God spoke to you. Now, I don't deny that God had been speaking to you for a while, but there came a day that you listened. So that's a different voice than I've ever listened to before. And whatever changes have occurred in your life, it's because God spoke to you. And if you're like me, once I started listening, my life has not been the same since then. What I've done with my heart and what I've done with my mind, even when I've done wrong, it still isn't like the day before I had light, before God spoke to me. Most people, you realize, go through their entire lives without the consciousness of God speaking to them. That's not how you are. Now, if you're a visitor here and you've only been here one time, I'm talking to our folks here. Most of these folks I know well. You come here 3 or 4 times a week and hear God speak. You come here in song services and hear God speak. You sit down multiple times a week, presumably with your Bible in your hand, and you digest and hear God speak. It is a regular routine. It's a luxury that you have. You know things the Chaldeans, the experts, the sorcerers, the magicians of our day know nothing about. You know stuff that doctoral professors with 4 doctorates at the U of M don't know anything about because God spoke to you. What made all the difference in Abraham's life, but ultimately as Israel stands in the promised land that day. The reason they stood there was because God, long, long generations ago, spake to Abraham. Makes all the difference. You've come a long way, baby. And it's because God spoke to you. And everything hinges from this point on you listening for God to speak to you. God speaks to you all the time. Or at least he tries. But that's where all this changed. He said, I want a lot of fire under you guys. Because you're standing here today and I'm going to die like Moses died before me. And I'm standing here telling you that the first thing you need to remember is that God spoke to Abraham. And since that day, he's spoken to you. He's spoken to your prophets. He's spoken to you through your laws. He speaks and speaks and speaks. And I want to know whether you listen or not. He said, because I'm dying today. And you guys have to stay in touch with that voice. The Lord spake. Notice what else he said in chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Okay, the Lord separated him. The Lord separated him. He spoke to him. Then he separated him. Here stands Israel in Canaan that day in Joshua 24. Before that, they had warred the wars of Canaan. Before that, they had wandered in the wilderness. Before that, they were bondsmen in Egypt. They had come a long way. That way had been a long, tough history. But second in importance to God speaking was that in speaking, God told them something that would separate them from the rest of the world for the rest of their lives. Abraham was never the same after he packed up in obedience and separated himself from Ur of the Chaldees. He was never the same. He was never the same again. They went from being heathen, Chaldeans, they separated themselves from them. Abraham separated himself, kept himself separate from the Amorites and the Ammonites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all the other ites. Abraham, eventually his seed went to Egypt. And even in Egypt, they didn't fit. And so there came a day that the Lord called them out of Egypt. Unless you don't know, that's the world. And he always led Abraham and his seed to be separate. You've come a long way, baby. That's true enough. Don't forget what got you here. God's voice. Then when God spoke, he said, get out. Come follow me, but get out of there. You need to follow me. You and me, we are now washed. We're sanctified. We're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. But we're sanctified. He set us apart. We're not the same as we used to be. We are now new creatures in Jesus Christ. He set us separate from the world and its God, the devil. He set us separate in many cases, and I don't mean that you shouldn't try to win your family. He set us separate from our families. There's part of our families that really would just as soon we don't come see them when we're in town. I'm serious. Because they look at life so different. They see life and history and, for that matter, eternity so differently. I'm not suggesting, again, you shouldn't try to win your family, because you should. But he also called you to a whole new set of friends. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to win your old friends. I'm just saying you probably shouldn't hang out with them anymore. Because he called you to be separate. The Lord spoke, then the Lord separated. From the world, from the world's causes, from the world's purposes. My cause is not political. My cause is not sociological. My cause is not cultural. My cause is a holy calling. It's something different than the world even understands. They have no holy callings. They don't have any. From the world's clubs, I don't belong to anything. I don't belong to the Key Club or the Kiwanis Club or the Country Club or any. I don't belong to anything. I belong to Jesus Christ. He called you to be separate. He said in Genesis 15, he said, Abraham, I'm making you a stranger in a strange land. Now just keep your finger in Genesis 12, and I know you know the verse, but 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, it's a reminder. If Joshua stands and it's important enough to him to remind the victorious Israelites in that day as Joshua departs this life, listen, guys, don't forget God spoke to you. Hey, guys, don't forget God separated you from the rest of the peoples of the earth. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You're a stranger. This world is not your home. Your citizenship does not belong here. I know you've got a driver's license. I know you have a passport. But those don't count in heaven. You don't belong here. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. I'd point out something else to you if you wouldn't mind. Back to Genesis 12. So God spoke. The Lord spoke. The Lord separated Abram. In chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Did you notice that the Lord showed him something? He said, I promise you, you follow me, I'll show you something. I mean, I promise you, I'll show you something. And there Israel is standing in the promised land with Joshua standing before them, an old man ready to pass on. And he says, listen, don't forget your father Abraham and his father Terah, because they came out of Ur of the Chaldees and God spake to him. God separated him and God promised to show him something. And boy, did God show Abraham some things. And God showed Israel some things. They showed them where they could go and keep from starving to death, because as it turns out, providentially, the Lord had provided a Savior in Egypt. It was their own brother that they had sold into Egypt. But he showed them something there. And as time progressed, God took them to Mount Sinai and showed them the law, showed them His power, showed them His righteousness, showed them His holiness. And the revelations just kept coming. The Lord revealed some things to them. He showed them. He showed Abraham. He showed Israel. And there's still more things that they would be shown. At this juncture, they stand in the land of Canaan. They don't even know that the city of the great king is Jerusalem. And that day they're standing there, it's just a Jebusite city. They don't even know if they'd heard about it before. But he hadn't showed them yet that was Mount Zion, that God's beautiful city. To this hour, that city is the key to Israel. But the Lord showed them. You've come a long way, baby. You really have. Think about the fact that God spoke to you. Think about the day that you heard the voice and He told you were a sinner and that you were wretched and that His Son had come and died for your sins. Remember that He spoke to you. Remember that He separated you. He gave you a higher cause, a greater reason to live than just living for you. And then don't forget that He's shown you some things. God has shown to us through this book, through His Spirit, things that the expertise of this world can never touch. They don't know the shape of the universe. They don't know the layout of the universe. They don't know that there are a bunch of people that are so saved, they can't ever be lost again. How would they come to understand a circumcision made without hands? A new birth. I'm not talking about a John Denver new birth either. Rocky Mountain High, right. A bunch of people tried that and they're not born again either. But none of them know anything about those things. No, who could discover that I am seated now in heavenly places in Christ? Who knows that the Holy Spirit literally dwells in me? The Spirit of Christ literally dwells in you if you're saved. They don't understand. They can't get it. And there are a lot of Christians that don't even get it. But it's not because God hasn't tried to show it to them. He's had it before them all along, but there's been nobody to teach them, or else they just wouldn't listen. But what Joshua is trying to get across to Israel is, look, God spake to you. God separated you. God's shown you some stuff. You should have learned it. You could have learned it. And whatever it is that you know, whatever it is that we all know of God that God has revealed to us, look, you haven't even tapped the main core yet. I'm certain of it. The more I learn, the more I know I don't know. I feel like that what I know of the truth of God is just this broad outline now. Because I keep being able to fill in, you know, these little pieces that come the next time I read through, there'll be something that shows up. Well, I didn't never see that before. I'm convinced that we all, the best of us here that know the Bible, the best of all, that we've just kind of grasped the kind of the outline of it. Doesn't make it any less special. Because he still showed it to us. Don't forget, he's working with our brains. Our dust bunny brains that are just dust and some chemicals stirred together, and the Lord says, live. But it's still just dust. It's just, you know, it's just hydrated dust is all it is. And yet the Lord showed us something. Amen? You've hardly tapped it. Notice that the Lord spoke. The Lord separated them. The Lord showed them something. In 12:2, notice he says, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. The Lord swore. Now, I know the word swearing is not in there, but the Lord swore because the Lord made a promise. I will make of thee a great nation, he said to Abraham. He swore to him. He said, I promise you, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to do something for you that you won't even fully conceive in your old age. He made him promises. So there stands Israel. Now, he makes this promise to one wayfaring pilgrimaging stranger who's going to wander around, this guy that has no home, Abraham. And he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And Abraham goes, okay. And now it's 500, no 600, no 700 years later, and there stands Israel in the land God promised Abraham. They have an army of over 600,000 strong. They're a nation of 2.5 or more million people. Who would have thought that such a thing could have come from a promise? And yet there they stand. The Lord swore. The Lord promised. And when God promises, He delivers. You've come a long way, baby. You're a long way from that, you know, wayfaring caravan that came out of Ur of the Chaldees. There are even some people in the caravan that shouldn't have been there. But, you know, just a few wagons and stuff, and here you are. Here you are. And I just want to say, here you and I stand today. And you know what our entire lives are built upon? Faith. You know what faith is made up of? Not things you see. Promises. Like I said, these folks know it here, but I ain't seen nothing. Preachers get up and say, well, I saw God do this. I didn't see nothing. I mean, if you're asking me what I saw, I mean, there's experiences, there's things I've learned from the Bible, but as far as things I've seen, I haven't seen anybody's leg grow back. I haven't seen the dead rise. I prayed and somebody got healed or got saved, but it's not like I saw it. So what are you saying? It's all by promise. It's all by promise. Here you and I stand. We walk by faith. We've been given a high calling around. We've been asked to come out and to follow God without having ever seen His face or His Son's face. All we have is a book and men who will stand up and preach and teach the words of that book. It's all faith. And faith has to be based on promises. And that's where I'm at. I am eternally secure. I cannot lose my salvation. And I know that. It's only because He promised. See, what evidence do you have of that? Well, I don't have any evidence. What evidence do you have that you're even saved? Well, I don't even have much of that. Because if you come and, you know, pick through my life, you'll probably find enough to think that I'm a hypocrite. And somewhere along the way, there'll be something that peeves you enough where you think I'm not even saved. And I am. I really am. Say, what are you getting at? I'm getting at the fact that the Lord swore. The Lord spoke. The Lord separated. The Lord showed. He revealed. And the Lord promised. He swore to us. You've come a long way, man. It's all given to us. Let me take you to 2 Peter chapter 1 real quick. Keep your finger in Genesis. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I wonder if you evaluate God's promises quite this highly. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will, notice down in verse 4. I better start in verse 3 where it says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Now, do you really believe that? That by His divine power, He has given you everything that you need. Everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Did you know that I have a divine nature? And so do you. But there ain't any of this to it. Because it all comes by exceeding great and precious promises. It's because of Him. It's because of His power there in Peter. It's not because of me at all. But that is the Lord. The Lord swear. I'm back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. The Lord spake. The Lord separated. The Lord showed. The Lord swore. And notice there was something else that's really important. It says in chapter 12, verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." He keeps talking about blessing there. You know what that is? That's the Lord's supply. He said, "Abraham, you're just a wayfaring camper. And you can't do anything unless I do something with it." And there stands Israel, hundreds and hundreds of years later, and they're standing in the land that God promised them. They're standing, they own it. They stand in their lots, in their inheritance. They stand there in it. And it's because God promised and swore to their father all the way back that He would do that for them. And then the Lord supplied it. There stands Israel, blessed. At every waypoint in that journey, they are dependent on God. I mean, you stop and think about what happened with them. Here they are, and a famine falls across the world, in that part of the world. They have no food left. They have to go a-begging. They have to go beg Pharaoh, of all people, the king of Egypt. And they don't know it at first, but they find out later that their own brother they sold into slavery and lied to their father about is the guy that's giving them food. God sent him there to be a provision for them. He swore to them. And through that, He supplied them. Here stands Israel. They go from being fed in Egypt to being slaves in Egypt. How's a slave nation going to deliver itself? Well, a slave nation's not. It depends on the Lord's blessing. And God delivered a slave nation. 2.5 million people. And they get, they're outgunned, they're outmanned, they're outnumbered. They have no army. They're a slave nation. They don't have an army. And here comes Pharaoh. He's got them entangled in the land. They're backed up against the Red Sea and the mountains. What are they going to do? It all depends on the Lord's blessing. The Lord says, hey, Moses, raise the rod. The rod was raised out. They went through the Red Sea. And at every turn, ladies and gentlemen, it was dependent on God's blessing. How are you going to feed 2.5 million people? Where are 2.5 million people going to get water? In the desert of Sinai. How's that going to work? Again, at every single turn, no food, no water, no power, in bondage, entangled in the land, no reason whatsoever to be alive. To this hour, there is no reason that Israel should still be with us. There is no reason in this world that Israel should still be with us. But they are. And it's because of God's blessing. In fact, it goes all the way back to calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and God spoke to him, separated him, swore to him, and showed him some stuff. And he says, come on out. I'm going to keep you alive no matter what. Here we are. And we've come a long way. You've probably come, if you're not very old in the Lord, then maybe you haven't come as far as you'd like. But you used to be a child of the devil. And today you're saved. Today you're a child of God. Right? I mean, you used to be full of the devil himself, and now you've got another spirit inside you. You used to sit down in your lounge chair, and now you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. You know, that's not so bad. Saved, secure, loved, cherished. You've got a church. You've got your brethren. You've got a Bible. And really, a lot of your calling in life really kind of centers right here. I know you have your own kids. I know you have your own family. I know you have your own job. I know you have your own things. But a lot of it actually does. The strength of it centers really right here. A lot of it. It's the Lord's supply. It's what the Lord blesses. He calls this, by the way, the pillar and ground of the truth. What other institution on the face of this earth can say that? Not many. Most churches don't even know that that's what they're supposed to be. At least we know that's what we're supposed to be. At least we're taking a swing at it, trying. Because most folks don't know. They think it's the news media or the college, the local university or something like that. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, here we are. And the Lord supplied us. You have the whole armor of God. You're spiritually fed. You're eternally secure. That's not the worst deal in the world. The Lord spoke. The Lord separated them. The Lord showed him. The Lord swore to him. The Lord supplied him. That's exactly what he's done to you. You know little in this life but the blessing of God. We're so spoiled, it's not even funny. You don't deserve to be alive and in health. You don't deserve to have all your children sitting around you alive and in health. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve to have more food at the house right now than you can eat in a week. You don't deserve to have more clothes in your closet than you can wear in a month. And most of us do. I don't know how long it'd take me to go through all the t-shirts that I got. Because, I mean, I'll wear a t-shirt for about 6 weeks before I wash it. So they just don't wear off very fast. Wear out very fast. The ladies go, ew. Yeah, shut up. I'm just kidding. Kind of kidding. You know, I'm kind of done preaching, but I want to show you a couple of things real quick, just in passing. Because I'm dealing with S's here. If you haven't figured this out, this is an S sermon. The Lord spoke. He separated. He showed him, he swore to him, he supplied him. Then I noticed, we could take this a little further, look down in 12:5. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance. Now, Abraham takes all the substance they can carry in their caravan. I don't know how much that was, but it had to be limited. By the next chapter, they have such great substance, so much herds, that he and Lot have to split up. So God is increasing his substance even as he travels. Now, I know we're Americans, and so we think substance and we think all kinds of things, but wait just a second. Take your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 10. Let me just remind you of something. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, their substance, knowing yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring. What's that word? Substance. I mean, whatever else you got here or gain here or lose here, this substance isn't anything compared to what he's got for you up there. Amen. This is true. Now look at another thing I'd show you in Genesis chapter 12. Since we're dealing with S's, in verse 5, he took Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls. You notice souls. Also notice down in verse 7, Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed, the seed and souls. Abraham had servants. Abraham had attendants. A pretty wealthy man even there. And so all those souls, including his wife and his nephew and their handmaids and whatever else, all those were souls. And then God promised him a seed. Do you realize how much it revolves, our lives in Christ revolve around a seed and souls? First of all, Christ is the promised seed. And we're called to go out and sow that seed as much as we can. The Word of God is seed. You're called to not just win souls, but to minister to souls, to edify souls. I mean, you're surrounded right now. You said here, you're surrounded by all these souls. And most all these souls are saved. You're called to be with them. These are your brethren. This is a preview to heaven. This is what heaven's going to be like. Kinda. Can you see? Do you see that we have that most of your calling revolves around winning souls, attending to souls, influencing souls? You influence the souls of your children. You influence the souls of your friends. I would show you one last thing. Actually, I don't need to show you. We all know that Abraham is the friend of God, right? That's what he's gone down in history as being. So Abraham was stalwart. That's the only word I could find with an S that had anything to do with friendship. He's a stalwart. He was a stalwart friend to God throughout the rest of his lifetime. Now, folks, what I'm trying to get across here is here is Joshua on his dying day. As far as I know, I'm not on my dying day. But there's Joshua on his dying day. He says, gather Israel. Because, hey, here you stand today in your promised land. And I want you to remember, I want you to keep the fires lit of how you got here. Don't you dare forget the day that God spoke to Abraham and separated Abraham and showed Abraham things, and he's since shown you things. Don't you dare forget that God made promises to Abraham that he's kept before your eyes. Don't you dare forget the Lord's blessing, the Lord's supply. Don't forget the fact that Abraham died with more substance than he left Ur of the Chaldees with. Don't you dare forget that your calling revolves around the seed, the promised seed, and souls. And don't forget that Abraham died, and we still know him to this day as the friend of God. And he said, you're my friends if you keep my commandments. You're still called to that stalwart place. Now, folks, if there's anybody here that's never been born again this morning, I hope that you might just stop for a moment and recognize that God may have been trying to get your attention for this entire time. God does still speak. No, you're not going to hear him in your ear. No. And the voice that you heard in your heart, you got to be careful with. I can tell you this, the God that speaks from this book is always the right God. The God that speaks from this book is not a devil or a demon or an Allah or a Mary. Just want you to know that what you read in this book is true. He is the faithful and true witness. And God speaks, God separates. Maybe that's unpleasant, but God shows you things. He swears, he promises. He's not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. The Lord supplies. He blesses. You've known little in your life, but God's blessing. If that can be the case, then surely you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Surely you can put your trust in a man that died for you and then rose for you and has ever lived from that point on to be your mediator, an advocate, an intercessor. Surely that doesn't seem like some sort of belligerent position that God has taken against you. He's not against you. He's for you. But you still have to receive the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray.